I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Good morning, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. This is Bob Sherwood coming to you again from the heartland of America. Big day today. We think Trump's getting out of the hospital, and of course the Chiefs play the Patriots tonight. But that's not the point of this podcast at all. I had a call today from a friend of mine. His name is Kelly. Kelly is an executive with a software development company. And he asked me the following question. He said, Bob, I have people that come to me every day and they say, I've got a new idea for a software app. What do you think? Now, they asked Kelly this question because Kelly is an executive with a software company, so they think he knows something about that, which he does. But that's not the issue, is it? So he gets these people, and he says to me, he says, Bob, I don't want to discourage them from coming to me. They may have some good ideas, but what do I do? How do I handle it? Well, I'm going to tell you how to handle this in similar situations. It happened to me when I was president of EDC. We had about 125 people working for me. Every day, somebody would pop their head in my office, and they'd say, Bob, I'd say, what? And I'd say, I've got a great idea, a great engineering idea, a great marketing idea, a great idea that could save us a lot of money and make us some more revenues. Now, I didn't want to discourage this person because I want the reputation of being innovative. In fact, EDC was recognized by Fortune magazine as being one of the 10 most innovative companies in California. So I want to maintain, like most companies, the innovation status. We don't want to discourage people from coming to us with ideas. We want to encourage them, and most companies do. So I'm going to give you a tip about how to handle that that I was taught a long time ago and has always worked for me successfully, and it manages to keep an innovative atmosphere. It manages to keep the ideas flowing without discouraging the ideas. Now, embedded in all the ideas that come to you, embedded in all the ideas that people are bringing to my friend Kelly, are one or two good ideas. But we all know that ideas by themselves represent hardly anything relative to the total amount of work that it takes to get an idea from the idea stage to revenue-producing activity. So what do we do? How do we accomplish this without discouraging the innovative ideas? So let me get right to it. So Joe comes into my office and Joe says, Bob, I got this great idea. And I listen to him for a minute or two and he tells me the idea. And I listen and I'm thinking, that's a pretty good idea. I'm thinking to myself, I don't say it. I said, well, that idea and, you know, 5,000 hours of hard work, we might be able to see if that idea has traction. But I don't say that. So I listen. And then I say to Joe, I say, Joe, look, I like that idea. It makes sense to me. But I need you to go back to your office and spend a few hours and write that idea down on 2 pages of paper, no more than 2 pages, and give me some schematics on how you think it might work. Joe leaves my office in a positive mood, and I can tell you that 99 out of 100 Joes will never come back with the idea because they probably decide it's not a good idea when they start reducing the idea to paper, which just happens a lot. Happens to me. I have had a good idea. Then I try to write it up, and I find out it's just so flawed it's not even funny. I throw it in the trash, or maybe save it for another day. Let's go back to Kelly for a second. Kelly's in the software business, so they come to him and they say, Kelly, I've got this great idea for a software app. Kelly listens, sounds pretty good. Kelly says, look, tell you what you do. Go back and write up the idea, describe it in 4 or 5 paragraphs, and then take 4 or 5 screenshots off your computer and show me what the user interface screen looks like. So the person usually says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, if your idea was being implementable, your software app was working, what would be the first screen the user would see? Would it be a login screen? Would it be a question and answer screen? What would be on that screen? And then the next screen, if they get to that screen, what would they see next? So I'll get an idea of how you, the person with the idea, sees this idea being presented to a user. That's particularly true if it's a software app, an app, something that you download from the App Store. The user interface, what you see when you download it, is critical. Now, the back office, actually the programming to make the idea work, a user doesn't really see. And very often the people with the idea or the person with the idea doesn't see the back office part of it either. But that's not important at this stage. This stage is to find out, does Joe, who came into my office, or the person who came into Kelly's office, have they really thought through what this idea is all about? By kicking it back to them to write it up, to draft it up, to draw up a couple of schematics, you weed out the people that aren't willing to put in the work to make the idea work. And that's where I started with this whole podcast. The problem is not the idea. It's the amount of work that it takes to make the idea work. And we can't do all of those things ourselves. So we have to see if the person with the idea has the passion and the capability to at least draft up what his idea would look like on paper. If you go to the USPTO website, that's the United States Patent and Trademark Office, it used to say something like this. And usually it said it on the front page. Ideas are not patentable. That's right. Ideas are not patentable. But the expression of the idea is patentable. Now, expression means reducing it to writing, reducing it to a schematic, reducing it to a series of user interfaces. Those things can become protectable. But the idea itself isn't. It's, for example, I have an idea, let's go to the moon. It's not a practical idea to protect. It's abstract. But I'll guarantee you that there's probably thousands of patents around rocket development that all were ideas that were expressed to writing and become protected. So I'm going to sign off with this podcast today as I think you get the idea. I'll guarantee you, if the next time somebody comes to you and says, hey, Bob, I've got this idea, if you just react positively, don't tell them it's a bad idea, because, by the way, you don't have to be judgmental. Just say, go back and write your idea up. Give me a couple of pages. Give me a schematic. Explain to me how it really works in a step-by-step fashion. You'll eliminate all the people that won't put in the work. And that's what I said originally. If a person doesn't want to put in the work, they can't make the idea implementable. And on top of that, they won't be able to explain their great idea to someone else. So that's it. That's for today. That's all for today on Monday. Because why? Well, the Chiefs game's coming up. But think about what I just told you, because it's a great tool to use. Use it the next time somebody comes to you with an idea. Any idea. Use this tool. You'll save yourself some time. And you'll weed out the ideas that won't work. And guess what might happen? That 1 in 100 times, the person comes back with a 5-page description and schematic on the idea. And that's the one that you can now start giving some serious consideration to. It does happen, not very often, but that's the idea. All managers need basic filtering tools without stifling innovation. That's what this is, a filtering tool. Use it. Use it every day. That's all for now. It's Bob Sherwood signing off on this Monday afternoon, who now I'm getting ready to go see the Chiefs game. Have a good day. Have some fun. Listen to my podcasts and pass them along. They're important tools. They're helpful. I guarantee it.
I'm brought to you courtesy of